It's Friday, kind of.
It's Friday, everyone.
It's Friday. Woo! And this is the Year 10 GCSE Computing Podcast that I host each week, and your host is Alan O'Donoghue, techno teacher on Twitter, TEKNO, because I can't spell. And today I've got the guests of.
It's Vicky Dodd. That's at Vickyville on Twitter. VickiVillE.
And we also have
to spell them, all of them. Ben Smith, and I'm at Manchester Budo. Do I have to spell it?
No, you don't have to spell it.
Manchester Budo.
Okay. So each week we record a podcast, which is all about the things that we've been doing while we've been teaching GCSE computing. But we've got a few extra little treats to talk about this Friday as well.
Lucky people.
So, Vicky, have you been teaching your Year 10 GCSE computing and your Year 9 this week?
Well, I have Year 9 and Year 10. And this week, my Year 9 class on Monday was taken by a British Computing Society Canet BCS scholarship candidate who came in for her interview. And she delivered a lesson on binary, well, it was data representation in computers that I gave her the lesson spec of, and she delivered a lesson teaching the children about binary and also ASCII, and had them writing out their name, figuring out their names in binary.
That's cool.
She did all that, and this is a person who'd never taught before, and she did all that in an hour.
Gosh.
So how are they actually like putting that across then? Were they actually writing it in ones and zeros on the screen, or?
Basically, she showed them how to do it, how to convert. She told them obviously what binary is first of all, and she went through the scale of data, and then she gave them the letters, and their numbers, the equivalent numbers, and then they had to work out from the deanery number to to the binary number.
But I mean, it's quite a long string, isn't it? If you're called Michelle, that's a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
Were they just typing it on the screen, or were they?
No, they were working it out manually on paper. Yeah,
very good.
It was really good for somebody who'd never come in. You know, that was the first lesson they'd actually ever taught.
I have to say,
it was really good.
It sounds like it could have been a really dull topic.
It could have been. I mean, don't get me wrong, it could have been sexed up a bit more, but they just got it, and they just did it. But then again, I found that with my computing students, that they didn't find binary particularly dull, and they did get it much quicker than I expected. I mean, I allocated nearly a two-hour lesson slot once for doing deanery to binary and back again, and they'd done it in 45 minutes.
Mm. I've seen scope for a joke. So the thing with binary is they either get it or they don't.
There's only 10 types of people in this world.
Yeah. So just Ben, do you know about this BCS scholarship thing?
Is this to become a teacher?
The BCS scholarships for prospective teacher trainees, where they get the £20,000 bursary through CAS and the BCS.
So what, you kind of endorse them?
Well, because Lead School in the Network of Excellence, then we get to interview them and put them through to the next stage. So we observe them in a classroom, see what relationships they can develop with the students. Yeah. They have to plan an activity. We observe that. And then also interviewing them about their knowledge of school operations.
That sounds a lot like a PGCE course, a BCS doing their own style of PGCE.
So I think the principle behind this is that they're trying to attract some really sort of top graduates, people with firsts and
two ones.
That would be graduates in computing science. Mm. And to attract these people, rather than, because, you know, if somebody's already got a highly paid career and they're a graduate, you're probably not going to want to take the big risk of putting all that on hold, then paying for yourself to go to university to become to do a PGCE. Mm. So the attraction of this is, it doesn't have as much risk, and you know that there's a scholarship with it, so that you're going to be in a school, be doing the training at the same time. You'll be able to draw. Okay, it's not a huge salary, but at least it means it's not like life-changing decision like some people would have to go through. And there's a few stages in the process. So one of those is schools have to interview the candidates to see if they think that they can, you know, they've got the potential to do this in a classroom.
Yeah.
But then they also have like an industry interview as well, don't they?
Yeah, they've got to go on to an industry interview now, where they have to present to industry as well. And they get BCS membership with it at it's not quite industry level, but then they get an industry mentor.
But that seems
odd
to kind of take them into a school and take them back to industry. Why
well,
would you do
no,
that?
No, no, no. there's a few like stages that they have to go through in order to, because there's a limited number of these scholarships.
There's only 50.
So
How many people have applied? How many people have competed?
I don't know. Mm. But as schools, what we did was we volunteered to interview the school interviews to host them, and not only do they have to get through the two interviews, they also have, there's like an application process, and they also have to have secured a place on a like a nominated PGC
They don't have to have secured the place before they go through
They don't have to have secured it, but they need to have applied for it.
The lady I interviewed on Monday, she hadn't yet applied before she submitted her BCS scholarship.
I feel we're getting weighed down the technicalities. I want to know is, are they brave enough? That's what I want to know. They need to register their bravery if they're ready for
bravery,
this.
Yeah, go on. So why do people need to register their bravery, Ben?
Because why aren't you already registered for Moz Party? Hashtag Moz Party. They need to be.
So we're having a meeting now, Ben, Vicky and myself, where we're planning what we're going to be doing on the 20th of June, the 29th of July and...
It's the other way around, isn't it?
Oh, yes, the 29th of June.
Get it right.
It's a good job somebody's listening. And so it's 29th of June, 20th of July, yes?
Yes.
And the 5th to the 11th of August. And we're running a code camp with Young Rewired State, and it's happening at UCLan, the university, and it's in the library. We've got a whole floor booked out all to ourselves, and we're hoping to attract 70 children, computer scientists, developers, teachers, mums and dads, grandparents, all to come together to learn how to code and inspire the digital creators of tomorrow. So we're using the hashtag MozParty. Now, did I mention to you that we have got Northern Rail have agreed to sponsor some rail tickets?
That was Heroes. Yeah. Who was that? Northern Rail?
Northern Rail.
What, Heroes? Northern Rail.
Because although we're in Preston and we're not too far from the train station, for a lot of children and families, it's not that accessible. If you live in Accrington or Burnley or Lancaster, so the idea of the free rail tickets is to allow them to come. So there's Moz Party.
That's very nice of them.
So the point of this podcast really is to help teachers who are thinking of teaching GCSE computing or who are teaching GCSE computing to think about what they've been doing. And I've had a couple of problems recently that I've been struggling to solve, and I've come up with an answer, and I'm going to tell you what the answer is.
I want to know what the problem is, Steve.
The problem we've discussed before is...
Such a traditionalist.
The problem really is that the children are doing their controlled assessments. So this is my year 10 class. My year 11s have just finished, but the year 10s are doing their controlled assessments, and while they're doing it in class, I can't give them any feedback. I can't go up and say, Ben, that's fantastic. Now, if you just do this and this, you'll get an extra 2 marks and you'll get full marks on that section. I can't do that. But it tends to be, I've got some children, it looks like they're going to get 0 marks because they've done no testing and no evaluation. And I can't go up to them and say, you've not done any testing or evaluation, you're going to score a big fat 0.
Do they not have a header sheet that has... like, how many pages have you done for this section and this section? They can't see a big blank box somewhere that says, you've not done anything.
That's what people call that. Some people call that writing frames. Yeah. We're not allowed to give them that sort of structure.
Is that right?
No, that's exactly right.
I give them a mark sheet. Because I do the booklets. I kind of don't just pass out the OCR one.
Yeah.
And at the front, I give them all the sections that they need to do.
Yeah.
And then the marks are available for those sections.
Yeah,
and from, take it straight from the mark scheme as to what should be in each section.
Yeah.
And then at the top, they have a week-by-week counter, so they tick off the weeks that they've used, so the hours that they've used.
Yeah.
And I provide a model controlled assessment that I've done. You know the Magic 8 Ball task?
Yeah.
So we did that as a programme in the class,
right.
And then I wrote that up as an example controlled assessment.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
No. And so they can apply that, and they can link it back to a programme that they've created, what it should look like.
Yeah, that's good.
So here's the power of the podcast, because when we last spoke about this, podcast power.
That's podcast power,
when you say power, do I have to go power, like that?
Oh, like
if
it's
you want,
yeah. To create the impact. So when I first started doing the podcast, I was talking about how I was tracking their progress using... I have a Google document online. It's tinyurl.com/10ACO1. And anybody can go on there and they can see. And the children say to me, I've just completed the evaluation. I've just completed this, and then I shade them in green.
And parents can go on to that, can't they? Then kind of shout at them.
So they can see the stages that they have to complete, and we can also... So we've identified... I've now got purple people. You know how I...
Pinky Pies and purple people. Yeah. Who are the purple people?
So the purple people are the one who I'm starting to scratch my head a lot, thinking,
so
dear.
They've gone from pink to purple.
No, they were never pink
Pink, so now they're just purple. Yeah. Okay.
And then we've got the people who have no colour. People of no colour. Well, that sounds like something else, but never mind. So I was talking to Vicky about how I was using this. And then in our last episode of the podcast, episode 25, you were telling me about how you did the model assignment.
Yeah.
And I was kicking myself thinking, why did I not do that? Why did I not do that? So on Monday I wasn't in school on Monday this week. I was off on one of my jollies somewhere trying to inspire teachers and do stuff. So they did the control assessment lesson on Monday while I wasn't in. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, I said, screech to a halt. Right, we're going to stop everything we're doing at the moment. We've got two lessons. We're going to do a model assignment. And I explained to them about how my hands are tied behind my back. I can't tell them what to do. So I said, we're going to do a model assignment. We're going to do a 20-hour assignment in 2 hours.
Mm.
And we're going to bring it really, really down to the absolute minimum that they need.
Yeah, that's
cool. And I can mark that, and I can give them some feedback. Even though it's only a 2-hour assignment, I can give them some feedback on
that. But they get the sense of you have to have testing, you have to have analysis, you have to go through all of those steps.
Yes. It's that's the structure. Now, they don't get.
I really wished I'd done that months ago, but now with hindsight and having talked to Vicky about what she's doing, I've now changed my teaching because of that.
Next year will be perfect.
Yeah, yes, of course it will. Of course
chasing
it will.
Chasing that forever, right?
Yeah.
One perfect year group.
Yeah. That's right. Except next year, we won't be teaching computer. We'll be teaching whatever Michael Gove deems is the important thing next time. So the way I did it really, really quickly was I said, look, it's a guessing game. What's going to happen is, I thought this up on the morning, like half an hour before I was teaching the class, so I didn't prepare any resources or anything.
Did you do your 5-minute lesson plan? Because I'm loving that at the moment.
I know.
Loving that at the moment.
Anyway, back to the topic. So what I did, and this is in Tuesday's lesson with them. So I said, look, I want you to build something. It's going to generate a random number, and then you have to guess what the random number is. And if you guess it right, it says, yay, you got it right. If you got it wrong, it says, no, you got it wrong, and that's it. And then I said you could build it up. So if you guess it wrong, it starts all over again. It says, I'm thinking in between 1 and 10, and it gets caught in this loop. So I then asked them to analyze it. So break it down. What are all the different components that you think you need to make? Some of them started going straight away into the code. And I said, whoa, stop. Yeah, but I know how to do it. Look, stop right there.
Yeah.
And these pinky partners, the one at the very top, they were getting so frustrated. But it's so easy. I can do. I said, stop. You have to go through these stages. But why do we have to? I said, because do you want to get 45 out of 45? Or do you want, you know?
See, what I do there is, with that, I'll give them the problem printed off and give them colouring pencils.
But you're uber organised. And you know what you're doing.
I can picture she's the teacher that has like a set of box with colours in. Yeah, and they're not mixed up colours. Only you'd have to look around for the colours. They're in the case.
Yeah. You've been in her classroom then. I have.
He has.
And she has a box. Yes.
And if they get mixed up, I have children who put them into the correct
order. No, they're the pencil monitors.
Anyway, they then highlight the different problems with different colours. So they decompose it. And then it kind of follows abstraction because it's broken down by colour by colour. Yeah. With the problems, and then they write their analysis from that.
She's too good for this, isn't she?
I don't know why she's wasting her time with us.
Us menial folk. So I forced them to analyse the problem, and I was doing such like, right, you've got 5 minutes to analyse the problem and look for 5 points, blah 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 blah, come on. And it was all about pace. Right, you've got 3 minutes left, 2 minutes, 20 seconds, 5, 3, 2, 1, right, stop. Now we've done the analysis. So then what I did was I said, right, now I'm going to give you a flowchart. I think it's perfect. So I drew this flowchart on the board. There may be a flaw, but I'm not deliberately putting any flaws in. Mm. Copy the flowchart.
Yeah.
What, we have to copy yours? Yes. Look, it's got the terminators. So some of them were using ovals and all sorts of stars. And I said, get rid of that. Copy it exactly. I want verbatim. Exactly.
When it's assessed for OCR, do they need a specific type of flowchart?
They don't really. It's just showing that they're thinking. But for this one, to make it easy, I said, look, I want you just to copy it exactly. And some of them... some of them wanted to spend half an hour drawing the flowchart. So you haven't got time. Yeah. So it was like, so I showed them the flowchart. I said, right, now the next thing you need to do is just look at the very first stage. It's going to create a random number. How are you going to do that? And again, they were running off.
This is stage two, is it? Need to create a random number.
They've stated the problem, they've analysed it, and now they're at the point where they're designing the solution. Good. But I've actually given them the design. And now I'm saying, right, now we need to start coding it, but do it stage by stage. Oh, my goodness. Some of the pink ones, they were like, right, I've got it, so it gives you feedback. It says your guess is too low, your guess is too high, you've got three. I said, stop.
Whoa, yeah.
You're going in too much. I just want you to break it down, simple stages. And I had a real battle with them, trying to force them to do it, because it didn't feel natural to them. Yeah. They just wanted to present the final solution.
But if you'd started the year like that, yes, and done a couple of those.
What I get them doing as well is, because some of them like to create it, the programme, they'd like to do that. They don't like to do the development evidence after doing it, they like to do it afterwards. Yeah. So I get them to save it in versions.
Yes, something...
They've either got a choice, you do your evidence as you're doing it, or you save it in versions, so then you can do your evidence later on and go back. They've technically got the development evidence because it's saved in the different versions as they've developed it. Yeah.
So I have said each week when I record this podcast, I don't think I'm an expert in this, but I'm going out and I'm doing it. I'm getting there. And
next year's perfect.
Yeah, year's absolutely. Perfect. So the following lesson, which was on the Wednesday, at the very start of the lesson, I said, right, you've got 3 minutes. What you think is how many different variables you're going to be using in this program. Like, is it going to be 3, 4, 5, whatever. Mm. Write them down. Say what data type they are, if they're going to be an integer, a Boolean, and what the purpose of that variable is.
Yeah.
And again, you've got 3 minutes. Now, you can work with your partners. You can... because I don't care, you can cheat on this task, it doesn't matter, do whatever means necessary to do it. So it was variables. Then I got them back into doing the next stage, which would be get the user to guess, then check if the guess is equal to the random number. Mm. And then I said, right, stop, now we need to put comments, because some of them were putting comments in their code. And now I want you to annotate this as well. Hey, but we've written comments. No, but I want you now to write underneath, what does that section do? And then test and evaluate it. That was like... race through that, and some of them hadn't actually finished code, and it said it doesn't matter if you've not finished it, I just want to see some code and you've annotated it. And then test table, and I got them to hand it in on Moodle, and that was the end of the lesson. And now my plan is, over the half term holiday, I'll mark them.
Yeah.
I can share the marks for those. I can say the evaluation wasn't strong enough.
Is that a 2 hour lesson?
Two 1 hour lessons altogether.
2 hour one.
And they've uploaded to Moodle. I can put the marks on there. I can give them the mark sheets back. And I say, now you're going to use that. Next time you do a controlled assessment, which will be after the half-term holiday, they can refer to that.
Use that model.
Yes, they can use that. So that was my two lessons.
Did you give them a test plan?
Yeah, well, I drew the test plan on the board.
Yeah.
And I said, look, put this... That was the other thing. They keep wanting to test it for the data you expect. So. Yeah. Guessing them between 1 and 10. So they type in 9. Yeah, it works. Yeah. I typed in 9. What if you type in N-I-N-E or gobbledygook or banana? Yeah, but nobody's going to type that. Yes, but you're going to see, it breaks.
Yeah.
Ah, so how are you going to fix it if it breaks?
I make them test it with, obviously, normal, extreme and erroneous.
Right. Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Yes.
Is that for fact?
So organised.
Normal, extreme
and erroneous. So what's the difference between erroneous and extreme?
Well, extreme would be out of the range required. So 1 to 10, then you have, like, 19, 100. And then erroneous is just, it's completely wrong, it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
So that would be your letters and things.
Zebra.
Yeah.
So they have the type in the test plan, they have the test number and then the data and then type of data. So is it normal, is it extreme, is it erroneous? And what outcome are they expecting?
Talking about erroneous, did anybody notice something erroneous that was in the last episode of the podcast or the one before that?
Me.
Was that the big hit, or was that the 900 bond that I was in? Or was that one of the last podcasts?
It was the one where I was talking about DNS, you know, the dynamic naming system.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, okay.
And have you heard the boom? You've heard the big error when I was talking about the dynamic naming system?
No, why?
It doesn't exist. There's domain name system, which is DNS, and then there's DHCP, which is dynamic hosting.
I wasn't in that one.
Something protocol.
I wasn't in the podcast with you where you were talking about DNS.
Oh, right. Well, it's probably a good job because you would have corrected. You'd have known.
That's
and you'd
one
probably
you recorded without me. Yeah.
So,
sneaking the podcast. Yeah.
When I start teaching this next year, one of my kind of key things that I want to do is make sure they can actually implement a network. So I'm going to get a group of PCs that they can actually network.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've told you about the Python UDP thing where we're passing messages around. Yeah. And they can break a ring network and a star network and see what the differences are. Are you putting any of that into practice, or are you just teaching them that DNS stands for this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can totally get that that would be the way to go. Yeah. I just, it's I the same use, when you're saying
use,
about...
ACCPCs, not rather, not kind of network, school network, because we've got a load of these ACCPC NAF things. Right. Excuse me, ACCPC. Oh, really good, really.
Right, the EPC.
The EPC, the little the really small old notebooks. Ones, yes. Because you, then you can network them really easily.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying put it a little bit into practice. Yes, I just remember when I was doing this stuff at, you know, at college and at uni, a lot of the stuff was just, look, information dump. Yeah. And it didn't actually attach to anything in the real world.
Of course. And if I had five hours a week with them, totally. It would be, but at the moment, I'm looking, thinking... 60% of the marks for this course are based on the coursework assignment, the control assessment. And I've just marked my year 11s, and that's why I start thinking I need to be rethinking how I'm doing it with year 10, you know.
The so, controlled assessments.
Yeah, the controlled assessments. So I've started changing the practice and how I'm doing it, and you've just heard me explain an example. Right, Ben.
Well, you mentioned Minecraft. If you'd like, would you like me to say again?
Or can I just say, tell us about Minecraft?
Yeah, well, can I do that as well?
Yeah.
So at my place, I've got a few things going at the moment. One of them is Adobe Connect with a C O N N E C T, and I've not used it before, but it's great. It's useful for web conferencing, and you just send the person a link and they just click on it and there you go, your web link's established. It's really easy to use.
You've had to buy that in though, haven't you?
No, I got a free version because the guys heard of all the different, like, my YouTube channel is, you should all check out my YouTube channel.
What is it?
I don't know. If you just go on YouTube and type in Smithy AKS, it'll be right on there.
Smithy with a Y?
Yeah, AKS.
Yeah, AKS. Yeah,
my school's called AKS.
Also known as...
Arnold King Edward and Queen Mary School.
Yeah, that's why it's called AKS.
Yeah, because the K is for KQMS and that S is a school.
Yeah.
So it's AKS. School. So it's like AKQMSS.
It's like one of these recursive acronym things. Yeah.
Redundant PIN, personal identification number.
Yeah. So the Adobe Connect.
Oh yeah. So I've been doing Ask the Expert, and I've had a local artist explain to the Year Sevens like what being an artist is all about. I've had an A&E nurse.
Do you say live?
Yeah,
live over the web.
Because you just send the person a link, so they don't have to get all to the school. Wow. They have the nerves of standing in front of a group of kids. They just click on a link and they talk to my class, and it's gone really, really well. I've done some virtual teaching with a guy on the other site. My school split over two sites, and he taught Flowell for an hour for the full lesson. And I tried to be as hands-off as I could be. Yes. So he was just a big head at the front of the room on the whiteboard, and he took the whole class like Big Brother style-y.
Yeah.
It was really interesting today. I've also got AKS News, where the kids do a news feed and all the forms log on to it and find out what's going on in the news at the moment. That went really well on Friday. I'm really pushing that out to the whole school now. I've got people on board. And Minecraft. I've done some Minecraft podcasting with it. And
wow.
Got loads going on. It's really fun.
I've sometimes participated in some of the Adobe Connect calls. Are you like really locked into it? Because some of the other ways of streaming... like webinars.
Mm.
You can then export it, you can grab the audio, and you can put the video here in YouTube and all that kind of thing. Does Adobe, you kind of get locked in sometimes with Adobe.
The A&E nurse did it over Google Hangouts.
Right.
And what I found was, I don't know, there's a fair delay on Google Hangouts. I don't know if it's a deliberate engineered thing, whereas I didn't find that with the Connect. Having said that, I haven't tried an interactive thing with the Connect, really. And then the virtual teacher we tried over Microsoft... Office communicator, and that one doesn't look as nice. The actual screen looks a bit naff, and we had to mess about. You haven't got the amount of leeway to set the screen up, which I really liked.
So it's worth looking at. I remember using years ago. Well, not so long ago. You know, Scratch have these Saturday meetup things, and every so often, and they do it over Adobe Connect, and it is certainly a quality product. It doesn't break. It works really nicely.
Mm.
But I don't know, I thought it seemed like it would be expensive.
How much is it?
Well, as I say, I was given a free version to trial out. Phil Badham, big yourself up.
Yeah.
He's letting me play around with it, and then I'm going to give him loads of feedback about how I've been using it. So, like I say, I've got about five things going at the moment.
I think I'd like to see, we could use something like that with the Moz Party. Getting experts and experts talking. You know, those like sessions that we were going to do, we could do something like that. We wouldn't need to get people in. And I've just made a note here of chat roulette. We could do a chat roulette with
them. We're not doing a chat roulette with children.
I'm not doing a chat roulette with adults.
I'm very innocent and naive. I don't really know what chat roulette is.
Oh, my word.
Maybe outside of the podcast you could tell me, looking at the expressions on your faces.
Go on, you tell them what it's supposed to be.
By the way, we've got 5 minutes left.
The idea is that basically, chat roulette, you know what the roulette game is, so it's game of chance. And basically you spin and the person you get on the other end is quite random. And obviously you wouldn't just to choose strangers.
Sure.
But if you got, say, 5, 10, as many as you could experts on, and kids could play a chat roulette with the experts and then they have to think of questions off the cuff. Yeah. You see?
That's great. We need to explore that.
Oh, I like it. I don't know if we want to brand it as chat roulette. Why? Chat roulette tends to be you spin it and you see some guy's spin chat on the screen.
No, you don't. Yeah. Not
really. Random. How often you on chat roulette? What
about really random chat or something? RRC.
Maybe not actually brand chat. Don't tie chat roulette into it, I think.
Robbie Williams was on it the other day, apparently.
Well, exactly. One reason
that.
Yeah.
So it was... Essex?
Cool.
The Essex dude had his dingle dong out.
Right. So, Web video is great. You know, we should be looking at how we can make use of that to bring things into the classroom. I got up at 5:30 this morning. What, do you know why I got up at 5:30? You probably know already.
Porridge?
No. Was that on TV? No. It was the Tokyo Raspberry Jam.
Yes, I saw that on Twitter. Yes. It was a live stream.
Yeah.
And was it Evan there? Ebden. Do you notice? Even on Twitter.
I know.
And I was thinking, who's he
talking
about?
Damn you, autocorrect. I typed in Ebben, and then I tweeted it, and then afterwards it said even, and it had been retweeted lots of times. I thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing? But it was nearly all in Japanese, apart from Eben didn't speak in Japanese, obviously. But I was under the duvet watching it on my iPad, thinking, this is cool. Something that I started, you know, a year ago or so. Ever. It's happening over in Tokyo.
That's awesome.
And it's been streamed back over here live, you know, and it was 1:30 in the afternoon.
How many
there.
People were there?
At the event.
Because it was sold out.
Yeah, it was 150, something like
Fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
Right, we're getting towards the very end. A couple of things just to remind people about, which is we're all signed up to the Computing at School community, which is free to join. It's a fantastic place to engage with other professionals, teachers and people who don't teach. And you can have the most amazing conversations on there and get help, so you never have to feel like you're alone, because I know when I started teaching computing in school, I did feel a little bit like, in a way,
I just found you.
Yeah. And it's surprising. I mean, you sometimes you do just bump into people in supermarkets and you can start talking to them about computing. You can do that, yes. So, computing at school. Anything else we need to mention? You know, if you want to find out about the Moz party that we're having, the URL for that is hackjam1.eventbrite.com, and you can find out links to the others on there. Is there anything else we need to mention? You're going ahead with this Python summer school, aren't you, as our ladies?
Yeah, there's a Python summer school. That's the first week of the school holidays, which I think is the 29th of July till the 4th of August.
I'm away at Kendall Calling then. Yeah.
4 days. We said for 4 days, with the intention of just getting up to key stage four Python skills, ready to deliver a controlled assessment.
So if somebody wanted to know about that, they can just message you, Vicky Ville.
Yeah.
V-I-K-K-I.
Or get in touch with Our Learning. Yeah. That's at Our Learning, isn't it, on Twitter as well.
And the Young Rewired State one that we're running is a week long. Any teachers listening to this who could even just pop in for an hour, I think it'd be fantastic for you to come in. It will really change your paradigm, your way that you see things. And we were talking about paradigms on the way here in the car. Yeah. Okay. So that's it. Shall we say goodbye to everybody?
Yeah, go on my YouTube channel, Smithy AKS. Look at Minecraft and look at Blender.
Blender's going to be really big.
It's going to be huge.
It is. And we didn't really talk about Minecraft because we're going to have loads. The York Raspberry Jam, Saturday the 8th of June. There is so much happening. I know. But we're going to have loads of Minecraft madness. We've got a guy travelling up about 200 miles to come. I know. You're away at a rock festival.
I am.
Right. So we're going to say together,
bye.
Bye.